Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, Manpower Minister Josephine Cho said in Parliament today that the Self-Employed Person Income Relief Scheme is expected to cost $2 billion in total, with the disbursement of the third and final tranche in October, far more than the original $1.2 billion set aside in the resilience budget in March. Now, there's been a lot of debate about income, manpower, and the workforce in Parliament this week. And to get us up to speed on what's been happening, we're joined today by Joanna Siao, manpower correspondent at The Straits Times. Joanna, thanks for joining us again. So, Joanna, you know, let's start off with Prime Minister's address earlier this week. And Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong this week addressed the hotly debated topic of foreign workforce in Singapore. And Mr. Lee shared that when the government works to attract companies into Singapore and to create jobs, its ultimate aim is always to improve the lives of Singaporeans. And he added that being open to foreign talent has helped to further this aim, as it's created more opportunities for Singaporeans as well. Now, many MPs have called on the government to do more to protect the Singaporean core in the workforce. Can you share with us some of the key arguments from Parliament this week?
Sure. So both PAP and opposition MPs spoke up on this topic in the debate this week. And as you said, the crux was on protecting the Singaporean core of workers. It's been a hot topic recently because of the economic crisis we're in, when people are seriously worried about job security and competition from foreigners is even more unwelcome. So some MPs said they want to see support for local PMETs, that's professionals, managers, executives and technicians, going beyond fair consideration. Some of them gave examples of residents who said they were surrounded by foreigners in multinational companies or who were passed over for job opportunities despite having relevant work experience. And MPs called on the government to restrict foreign competition for these positions through things like quotas for work passes or saying that companies must hire a local to replace a foreigner by a certain timeline. One of the non-constituency MPs, Mr. Leong Nan Wai, he was concerned that many of the additional PMET jobs taken up by locals in recent years were by PRs or new citizens. But Manpower Minister Josephine Teo said that actually the PR population has remained stable in recent years. And a significant number of the new PRs and new citizens each year are children, so they're not even in the workforce, or they could be spouses of Singaporeans. And then should they not be allowed to work? That seems, so that was her response.
So what are the plans then to strike a balance in the current environment? Because it's a difficult balance, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think the government's approach is to continue scrutinising firms and penalising those which unfairly favour foreigners. So M1 has said that it's stepping up its efforts. And for example, when companies apply for employment passes or S passes to bring in foreign PMETs, M1 evaluates their applications and will place heavier emphasis on factors like, whether the firm supports its local PMET staff, such as trying to retain them during retrenchment exercises. And PM also stressed that Singapore's openness has helped create more opportunities for Singaporeans. And even as Singapore adjusts its policies on work passes, it has to be careful not to send the wrong signal, to other countries, to other companies, that the country is no longer welcoming.
That's right. And, you know, Manpower Minister Josephine Cho also outlined the government's considerations in managing the foreign workforce here, as well as its efforts to support Singaporean professionals. Still, you know, as you mentioned, Joanna, some PMETs may be concerned about being disadvantaged during retrenchments. What was said to alleviate those concerns?
Okay, so Mrs. Cho said that MOM actively monitors retrenchment practices. So this is done because companies actually need to notify MOM when they carry out retrenchment exercises that affect at least 5 staff within the span of 6 months. So Mr. Teo actually just said in Parliament today that this covers close to 90% of the workforce here. The companies have to report to MOM when they retrench. So some of the things that MOM looks out for are, did the employer try other cost-saving measures before resorting to retrenchment? Did it apply fair criteria to decide who is going to be retrenched? And importantly, was the company's Singaporean core weakened as a result of the retrenchment? And it's been interesting because in recent weeks, I think companies have taken notice of how to communicate better about their retrenchment exercises, especially those that are unionized. So when they send out press statements, some of them actually state what percentage of the remaining workers are Singaporean and how this is actually higher than the original percentage. So I think this goes some way towards reducing the negative sentiment towards the company.
And speaking about manpower makeup, we spoke last week about the quota for S passes and whether we could see a quota on high-end foreign professionals on employment passes. And this was something that Mrs. Chiu also discussed in Parliament this week, isn't it?
Yes, because several MPs suggested an EP quota during the debate. And they suggested it be tiered for different sectors or different salary levels to try and ensure that companies that really, really need the high-skilled talent can still hire them. So Mrs. Chiu said in response that while this is not an unthinkable policy move, it's probably unwise, mainly because companies need the flexibility to hire the numbers they need. And she also said EDB and MAS also need flexibility when attracting top quality investments from firms to come to Singapore. So raising the salary bar is meant to ensure that the foreigners coming in are of good quality, and those who are paid less will get downgraded to the S-Pass level where there is a quota.
We're speaking to Joanna Xiao, manpower correspondent at The Straits Times. Now, less than a week after it was announced that the minimum qualifying salaries for employment pass holders will be increased, Labour MP Patrick Tay urged MOM to consider further raising this minimum pay for two sectors. Joanna, which were the two sectors and why?
Mr. Tay called for a higher minimum qualifying salary in the Infocom Technology and Professional Services sectors. Professional services refers to things like law, accountancy, and architecture. So these two sectors tend to have a higher proportion of foreign PMETs, and the MOM has said before that they generally have more companies on the fair consideration watch list for potentially discriminatory hiring practices. So I don't think the inclusion of these two sectors in this higher minimum qualifying salary was addressed by the ministers during the debate. But last week, MOM had already announced that there will be a higher minimum qualifying salary for EP holders in the financial services sector. And it's going to be $5,000 instead of $4,500, which is the general criteria.
Moving on to the last topic that I wanted to have a chat with you about, Joanna, and that was, we did see a spirited debate on the minimum wage this week, and yesterday an almost hour-long debate was brought to a close by Senior Minister Tharman Shanmugaratnam. What are the details on that?
Okay, yes, the topic of the minimum wage came up during the July general elections, actually, and the latest debate yesterday was sparked by a speech by Workers' Party MP James Lim. He was giving his first full speech in Parliament, and he argued for a minimum wage, saying that Singapore's policymaking prioritises efficiency at the expense of equity. And then several PAP MPs also jumped in to question, they actually questioned him on whether imposing a minimum wage in the middle of a recession would hit workers hard. And then Associate Professor Lim agreed that it would be, but he suggested that, you know, having a minimum wage could be studied now and then rolled out when the situation improved. And he said the specific minimum wage should be determined by an independent panel. So then Mr. Tharman, who kind of rounded up the debate, said that the government genuinely believes that it is important to raise the wages of the lowest paid workers. And it has this progressive wage model, which it now calls a minimum wage plus model, in quotes. And it's interesting because actually when progressive wage model was first rolled out, I think the government was quite insistent that it's not a minimum wage. But effectively, it does set a minimum wage for different roles as people progress in their careers and gain more skills. So, I mean, what it does is it sets a salary floor, effectively, yes, a minimum wage for different roles in different the compulsory sectors. And the minimum wage goes up as you progress into different more like supervisory positions, then there's a higher minimum wage. And it's compulsory for the cleaning, landscaping and security sectors, and it's supposed to become compulsory for lift technicians soon. And then, so actually earlier in the week, the latest move that was announced is a new progressive wage model MARC, which is meant to encourage more companies to voluntarily follow a progressive wage model for their sectors. I guess this sort of sectoral PWM will be developed over time in consultation with employers and unions. It hasn't been decided yet for the different sectors.
Well, Joanna, thanks for that recap of the key manpower headlines out of Parliament this week. We've been speaking with Joanna Xiao, manpower correspondent at The Straits Times, here on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.